message. It's an urgent message, an important message, something you needed to know, something you wanted to know, and you did get it. It fell out. Any of you ever have a cell phone like mine that doesn't send you a text from and that was from yesterday? It doesn't get here till today, or a voicemail. Why does that happen? I mean, there's towers all over the place. I mean, there's instant, isn't they call it instant messaging, right? So it should be instant. If instant doesn't happen for 24 hours, you miss out. I hate to miss a message like that, especially when someone is expecting you to know. In the old days, back when these kids weren't around and we were all way younger, how did you get messages? In person. I either talked to you in person or I sent someone else in person to you. We're talking about before there was even an answering machine. We're talking about way back in the mid-80s, way back there. Or if it was not vocal, it was written, and it was written on a piece of paper. Anybody gotten a piece of paper note lately? That doesn't happen, does it? How do we message each other today? Well, we still do it through voice, but we do it through voicemail. We do it through answering machine. We do it through FaceTime, which is really cool, by the way, Skype. Etc. The written note, which would be rare. We get a lot of texts. There you go. That's a good word. A lot of texts, a lot of Facebook messages, email, etc. You know, our ability to message each other has gone way up. How has our ability to get the message, though? Has it gone up? We've gone up exponentially in our ability to message each other, but are we getting the message from each other? We're really no better, are we? I mean, maybe the opportunity is broader, but I don't know that I'm getting messages any better than I ever did. It's still, you know, improved the, as they call them, a smartphone, right? And only if a smart person's running it, that's the problem. I don't know. It's just not working for me, I think, for that very reason. We miss the message, and it's regretful. Somebody say, I text you. My kids say that. They text me when they should have called me, right, girls? Because they know that I won't necessarily see the text, and that means I can't say, on there. No, you may not. Instead of calling me like they know that they should, or I called you, or I IM'd you, or I left a voicemail, or I left an email, or I did this, or I did that. We have all these things, and it's regretful. You know, with as many messaging ability that we have, that we miss a message. Regretful when we miss messages from each other, especially the ones that are more important. But missing a message from God is more than regretful. It can be absolutely disastrous. And we're going to look at how God messages people. In particular, we're going to be taking the example of Moses this morning, and that's where we are in our study in the highlights of the Old Testament. Moses is going to be messaged from God. He's going to get a message. He's going to get it loud and clear. Which, by the way, let me just say this. That's always the way God messages. It's always loud and clear. God doesn't speak to me clearly. Oh, yes, He does. You don't listen. That's your problem. Don't blame God. God messages always clearly. So let's get to the story of Moses here. Moses, of course, spends the first 40 years of his life, he spends in Egypt. He thinks he's all that in a bag of chips. He finds out he's not. He spends the next 40 years of his life in a wilderness, in a desert. As we saw the last time we were together over this subject, he's getting his BD, his backside of the desert degree. He's getting his education. He's learning humility 101, right? Others 101. Himself 101. Waiting for God, that's a toughie, isn't it? 101. He's learning all these things, and he's going to graduate, and he's graduated actually here. And how do we know a person has actually graduated God's school? How do you know when you graduated? Here's how you know. You won't know. If you think you haven't graduated, you may very well have. If you think you have graduated, you probably have not. Good rule of thumb. How do we know that Moses is ready to do the things that God has called him to do? God comes to him and says, okay, Moses, let's go. And what does he say? I'm not your guy. So how do we know he's the guy? Because he says he's not the guy. That's how we know. That's how we know. Because now, no more humility now, he's found his place. Patience has now found its place. He no longer thinks a whole lot of himself like he did before. Now he's ready that the power of God, not by might nor by power, right, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It's not just a part in the Old Testament or application in the New. It's always been that way. Now he understands that. Now he's confident that he's not the guy, and so what do we know? He is the guy. He is the guy, not just for that reason, but he is the guy. So he's minding his own business. He's out, as he has been the previous thousands and thousands of days of his life, shepherding sheep that belong to someone else, his father-in-law. His wife, his kids are grown now. He's been married for 40 years. He's now 80 years old. He's leading them out into the wilderness like he always has. He's minding his own business with the same sheep. He's going by the same mountain that he's gone by. He's been living by this mountain for 40 years. More than likely, he's going by the same bush that he's seen for a very long time, which in this case is going to be burning. But the reason why I'm saying he's going by a bush that he's seen before is because bushes don't just pop up in this part of the world. If they're any kind of substantial bush whatsoever, they have been there a long time. Half an inch of rain or a quarter inch of rain, a year. Nothing pops up with that. If it's there and visible, at least very tall, it has been there a long time. So no doubt he's going by a mountain he's seen before because that's where he lives. He's going by a bush he's seen before. So everything is exactly the same except what's going on the mountain, in particular in the bush. We pick up the story here in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Exodus. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness to a place and came to Horeb, the mountain of God, also called Mount Sinai. Mount Zion's in another place. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So it's like one of these electric fire logs, right? Looks like it's on fire, but it's not. In this case, it was. It was actually on fire, but it's not being consumed. And so he's just like, wow, he's seen bushes burn, but never anything like this. And so he says to himself, he's out there by, well, he's talking to sheep. So you got to think he's bored beyond imagination. So he talks to himself in these very formal terms. I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight and why the bush is not burned up. I mean, that is what he said. I don't know why he speaks to himself. Do you speak yourself that way? What do you say? Holy cow, what's that? That's what I say. So, but anyway, Moses, this is him, and this is what he says. So it says, when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called him in the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. Now, that word in the Hebrew is only one word with only three letters. Better way to translate it, maybe for our understanding, is just, yo. He's walking up to the bush and he hears Moses. He's like, yo, where'd that come from? And it came from the bush. Comes from the bush. And he gets an answer back. Do not come near. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place in which you're standing is holy ground, verse 6. God says also, I am the God of your father. Notice, not I was, but I am currently. Jesus uses this verse in particular in the New Testament to prove the resurrection because he says all are alive to God. He doesn't say he was the God of these three men. He says he is currently the God of these three men because they're alive, he says, Jesus says. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Then Moses hid his face for he was afraid to look at God. Smart move. And the Lord said to him, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. And so I have come to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land of the good to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Hivite and the Jebusite. These are all Gentile tribes that are living in a land that's been promised to these Jews. And now behold, verse 9, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now. 40 years, he's been waiting for now, and now here it is. Here we go. Come now, he says, and I will send you. Notice, not come tomorrow, not come next week. When God speaks to you, he's speaking to you about right now. Right now. That's important. We'll get to that next time, but we'll just make that as a highlight right now. Come now, he says, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. So what we have here is a lesson, and we're not finished with it because obviously he's going to have some real misgivings about going on this. He says, I'm not your guy. We're going to be getting to that next time. But right now, for the next couple of Sundays, we're going to be spending time on how God communicates to us. How does God message us? God still speaks. God still leads his people. God still communicates to us. How does he do that? How do I know? Here's a question I get quite often. How can I know when God wants me to do something different? When God is moving me through a door? When God wants me to go here or go there or change this? How do I know this? And let me just answer that question in two ways. Number one, there is no one way that God talks to us. There's no 10, there's no million ways that God speaks to us. In fact, this is the only time it says in the Scriptures or anywhere else that God ever spoke through a burning bush. It never happened again. My experience with God is that He never speaks the same way twice. He speaks, but He never does it the same way twice. Moses only gets one burning bush. No one else gets the burning bush. Nobody else, but God speaks all the way through the Scriptures. And here's the second thing I want to say. First of all, there's no way to put God in a box. He's going to do it different every single time, in my opinion. I can't necessarily prove that, but in my opinion, in my experience, that's the way it seems. And number two thing, the thing I find in Scripture is that when God does communicate with us in the Scriptures, people never fail to know it's Him. They always know. Wouldn't it be nice if you got a burning bush? I already told you, you're not going to get one. But here's what you need to know. You don't need a burning bush. Because every time God speaks to people in the Bible, Old and New Testament, they always know it's Him, and they always know what He wants them to do. So if you come to me and you ask the question, is God speaking to me? I will immediately answer you, no. You know why? Because every time God speaks, people always know. They always know. They don't have to ask a question. My experience is a handful of times that God has clearly spoken to me, nobody had to validate it for me. Nobody. I knew it was God. One of the reasons why I stand in front of you as a pastor is because God made a very clear call in my life. I didn't have to ask anybody. I was scared to death to ask anybody. He scared me to death in the process. And I'm going to tell you that story the next time, next week when we come together. If y'all live that long, we all do. We'll be here together. We will. No one ever fails in the Scriptures to know, first of all, that God is speaking to them, and secondly, that what God wants them to do. So it's not a problem. You don't need a burning bush. God is able to communicate to you exactly in a way that you will understand it, and you will not need me to interpret it. People come to me, as I said, and say, Pastor, is God speaking to me? My answer is going to be no. Because God does not come, and they want to know the message that God has for them. What does God want me to do? God is not in a relationship with you through me. God is in a relationship with you personally. He will not come and tell me what you need to know. Even though you come to church on Sunday, and I fully expect that God says stuff to you, I really believe that He does. But when He does, glory to God, I don't have a clue. I don't know you. You don't know me. I don't know what's going on in your life. Most of the messages I get from God, I didn't even know they were coming. So how could I know, if I didn't know they were coming to me, how could I know what's coming to you? It doesn't make any sense. So glory to God, God is able to speak to you. He doesn't do it through anybody. He does it directly to you. You don't need anybody to tell you what He's telling you. Trust me, when God speaks, you know. You will know. So if you're saying to me, I'm not sure if God's speaking, I'll probably have to say He's not. Because when God speaks, people always know it. They always know what He is, that He's saying it, and they always know that it's Him. I will say this, though, in the Scriptures. Everybody always knew, Old and New Testament, that God was speaking to them. Many, though, failed to listen. And that's the difference. None of them failed to know it was God. Many failed to listen, though. See, that's where the ball's in our court. Ball's in our court there. God's ability to communicate to us, to message us, and for us to get the message, He never fails in that. The failure comes when the ball gets in our court, we fail to kick it back. We don't listen. But we always know it's Him. So here's what I get asked. I get asked the question, is God leading me in thus and such? And when you come and ask me that question, anyone comes and asks me that question, or if I ever think that way, I know one of two things are true. Either one, like I said, God has not spoken to you, because no one needs to tell anyone ever in the Scriptures that God has spoken to them. They always know. So if you come and ask me, is God speaking to me, I'm probably going to just say no, because you always know. God is able to communicate to you in a way that you will understand. So it's either on the one hand, no, God isn't speaking to you. God isn't. Or on the other, He has spoken to you and you don't like it, and you're looking to get me on your side against God. You want me to say, yeah, that sounds stupid to me too. I wouldn't do it. That's crazy. So that you can stand up and say, well, my mother said it was crazy, my pastor said it's crazy, and I'm saying it's crazy. Well, that's three of us against God. You know, it's three of them and three of us, and we won. No. Don't come to me and ask me if it probably is crazy. Do you think it was crazy for an 80-year-old man to deliver a couple of million people out of the most powerful nation in the world? I'd call that crazy. I'd call it crazy. Often when God comes to us and speaks, He's asking you to do what the world would consider to be crazy. Give up your job. Give up what you know. stop doing this and start doing that. Go here instead of there. Change this circumstance. Put yourself at risk. Is God capable of calling you to those things? Yes, He is. Yes, He will. So you don't go by what's crazy and what's not. You go by what God says. I mean, Moses, you can imagine he's wanting to explain away the whole circumstance. Surely, he says to himself, I had too much coffee this morning. Surely, I had a bad locust, you know, in my breakfast. That's the reason why that bush looks like it's burning and talking to me. Surely, he wants to explain it away. We're the same way. God comes to us, especially with a hard assignment, and we're looking for some other thing. Can't be this, can't be that. Can't be what it seems to be. Can't be. I don't like that message. I don't like the direction that God is leading me. It's not true with everything He does. Sometimes He comes to us and says things that we were excited about. Sometimes He says things that, whoa, boy, wait a minute. I don't like that. So I guess what we need to deal with before we consider any of the dynamics of how God speaks to us and the circumstances He speaks to us in, we first of all need to deal with our own hearts. Are we capable of a message from God? You need to ask yourself that question. Am I capable of being messaged from God? The reason why I say that is because you're incapable if you're unwilling to follow Him. Because it's a moot point as to how He messages us if in the end you're not going to do it. Don't you agree? It's just moot. Why go through the drama of figuring out how God speaks to us if in the end you're going to say, uh-uh, I'm not doing that. So the conclusion we need to come to before we come to any kind of conclusion in any of the sermons or any of the teachings we're going to do on this, we need to come to the conclusion of we're going to follow Him as Lord. You know what Lord means? Lord means you can't tell Him no. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? He says in the New Testament. That's a good question. Why are you wasting His time calling Him Lord, but you're not doing what He says? So if I'm going to call Him Lord, I'm going to do what He says. So if you're going to call Him Lord and you want to know about this whole message thing, then first of all, you need to honor Him as Lord. So what you need to do is you need to decide in your heart right now, you haven't got a message from God, you need to decide right now before the message gets here that no matter what it is, you're going to do it. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it is. How do you get there? Well, here's how I got there. You can just use me as an example. I got there by simply laying out the worst case scenario. What is the worst case scenario for you that He could call you to do? Maybe a grass hut and a dirt floor in the middle of Africa? Is that the worst case scenario for you? So settle in your heart right now, if He calls you to do that today, that you would do that if you know it's God. And if you can't settle in your heart that, then like I said, you can just sleep while the rest of us talk about the message system of God, because it's irrelevant for you. You're unwilling to follow Him as Lord. This is irrelevant for you. It's a moot point. If you're going to call Him Lord, you're going to honor Him as Lord, then you're going to do exactly what He says no matter what it is, crazy or not, financially beneficial or not, local or not. Like I said, if we have parameters on what God can call us to do, yes, God, call me to anything you want as long as it's within this income bracket, as long as it's within this, maybe not further north than Raymondville. It's just too cold everywhere else, right? As long as it's in the United States, as long as it's with people that speak my language, as long as who's the Lord here? See, you're telling Him what to do. No, it's the other way around. He owns you. In fact, that's the thing that we're going to be doing here this morning together is we're going to be having the Lord's Supper together. So we have juice that resembles or reminds us of the blood of Christ, and we have bread that reminds us of the body of Christ. The body of Christ was broken. His blood was spilt out to do what? To buy you and me. That's what it means. Redemption, you go in to redeem something. What are you doing? You're buying it. He bought us. So you belong to Him. And as His possession, He can come to you and tell you whatever He wants. And what you got to decide is if you're going to be in the blessing side of that and the hurting side of that, you got to decide, and that's to determine, am I going to do what He says or not? I can either go with it and be happy with it, or I can go with it, be kicking and screaming and have a miserable life, and that's your decision. But you need to make it right now, like I said. Otherwise, this whole issue of how God speaks is really moot. So, is He Lord or not? If He is, then let's consider, we're just going to get to one thing this morning because y'all are so slow at listening. And so here we go. So the first thing we see is bubbling out of this story of Moses and God messaging him. The first thing we see bubbling out of that is that God comes to him where? In church? In the temple? Is he up on the mountain sacrificing to God and God speaks to him? Now, let me just say this. I'm not saying God can't do it under those circumstances, but where is Moses when God speaks to him? He's at his job, but the same job he's had for 40 years. Doing the same thing for the same old man. Working for your father. Anybody ever work for their father-in-law? I've not heard good stories in most cases of that. I don't know. I mean, he seems to have a good relationship with this guy later on, so I'm not going to say anything. But I just got to wonder, 40 years doing the same thing. A lot of people say that Moses was in disobedience. That's the reason why he was leaving this mundane life. That's the reason why God has to find him out on some mountain instead of in church or in worship or in sacrifice or something like that. And my answer to that is, where do you get that from? Moses in disobedience? Yeah, because he runs from God. No, he ran from Pharaoh and he ran from his concepts of what God ought to be, but he doesn't run from God. I mean, let's just think about it. Okay, if you say he runs from God, he runs from Egypt, where does he wind up? At the mountain of God. So if I'm running from God, but I wound up where God is, how can I be in disobedience? That doesn't make any sense. So let me just say this also about God's messaging us. Sometimes his message to us or his leading to us is just through providence, not through messages. Sometimes because of the brokenness of the circumstances and the disillusionment, as in the case of Moses and the horrible circumstances, and we're trying to exist, we're trying to get by, and the providence of God is over us and guiding us. You may be at a place where you, right now, where you're living, what you're doing, where you're working, where you haven't had a clear word from God to be where you are, but is God providing for you where you are? Well, then don't get up from where you are and do anything else until you get a clear word from Him. Okay? Be careful with that. Be careful. Just because you don't have a clear word from where you are doesn't mean that providence hasn't led you to where you are. Moses was there. He was in the right place. Not in disobedience. He was learning important stuff like how not to be so arrogant, right? How to be patient. You think he learned patience following the sheep around? Yeah. How to hear from God. How to be kind and understanding. He's learning all these things that a spiritual leader needs to have. And it took him a long time, and they do take a long time to get those things. We can educate people all day long, but teaching the fundamentals of the things of God, you can't teach anybody that. They have to get it. It takes time. It took him time. Moses is blessed, he's highly skilled, but he's not in disobedience. He's not throwing his life away. You're sitting in a situation where it just seems mundane, and it continues to be mundane, and it seems to have been mundane a long time, and you're wondering, have I missed the message from God? And I would say to you, no. Why do I say that? Because if God speaks to you, you're going to know it. Now, if you are currently in a mundane situation, and you know in your heart of hearts what you're actually supposed to do, and it's not supposed to be here, and it's not supposed to be in your mundane situation, then get up right now and leave. Just go on. You already know, then why are we wasting our time? I'm wasting your time, and you're certainly wasting ours, because listen, God has already spoken to you. You already know what He has. As I said, you always will. You will always know what God wants. You'll always know it's Him, but you may not listen to it. But if you already know He wants you to do something, then you go right now and do it. For the rest of us, though, you're not sure if you're where God wants you to be. My answer to you is just simply this. You're not sure. Maybe I missed the call of God. Well, do these things. Do what you know God wants you to do. What does He want you to do? Well, He wants you to be in church, so make sure that you are. Well, hello, here you are. Make sure that you're praying. He wants you to do that. You don't need a word from God on these things. Make sure that you're in the Word, that is, you're reading the Scriptures, memorizing the Scriptures. You don't need a word from God of this. These are things that God has made clear in the Scriptures. Make sure you're doing the things, like we talked about these kids, being fishers of men. Doing the things that you know you're supposed to be doing. You want a new word from God, but the old words from Him you're not fulfilling. You shouldn't expect anything. Your son comes to you and says, son, dad, I want to do, what's the next thing you want me to do? He said, well, did you take care of the thing I just told you to do? Well, no, but I'm tired of doing that. I want to do something else. Do the thing I told you to do first. Then I will take you, number one, then we'll go to number two, and then number three. No, I just want to jump on to number four. No, you're not. Take care of one, then we'll get to four, okay? God says the same thing to us. Take care of the first things that I've told you to do that you don't need a word from me on. And then you will be ready, and the mundaneness of that, every day, day in and out, day out, yes, I understand that, ready for something new and special, me speaking to you, but not until then. Not until then. I mean, what if Moses, in the mundaneness, says, you know, I don't think I'm supposed to be, I mean, goodness, I'm just throwing my life away when I'm 75, and I just need to get up and go somewhere else. I think I'll go back to Egypt. How would that have gone? He'd just go by himself. Would have been bad. Unless God had led him, it would have been real bad. So God comes and he calls Moses in the ordinary mundaneness, people would say, throwing his life away out there to the sheep, right? Well, you find that all the way through the scriptures, that similar way. When he comes and finds Peter, what does he find him? When he calls him and says, come and be fisher men, what is he doing? He's fishing. Why? Because that's what you do. Money doesn't fall out of the sky. I mean, I guess God can do that. But he actually gave you a brain and two legs and arms so you can get yourself a job. It's because you got a family. Peter did. And a wife. You got to take care of them. And so while you're waiting for God to speak to you and to lead you in a special way, which Peter certainly got that call. He was 30-something years old, obviously, at that time. Don't starve to death. Do what you know you're supposed to do. When he calls Elisha in the Old Testament, what is Elisha doing? He's plowing a field. Why is he plowing a field? He's a man of God. Why is he plowing a field? Because he's a farmer. That's what farmers do. The spring comes, you plow, you plant, you harvest. Until God tells you to do something completely different, you don't do anything different. You stick with the same thing. So don't be afraid of the mundaneness, because it's in that mundane, day in and day out, ordinary things of life, more often than not, that God speaks to us. Do faithfully what you currently are supposed to be doing. If you haven't heard a new word from God, then don't change anything. Don't listen to me. Go anywhere. Be careful. Stick with what you know. David, what is he doing? He's tending his sheep. Why? When he's called of God to be the king of Israel, why is he doing that? Because that's what his daddy told him to do. It's a good idea to obey your daddy or mom, kids. And that may seem mundane and day in and day out, but it's in those circumstances of obedience to what we know we're supposed to do that God calls us into new things. It's important that we grasp that. So listen, here's just sum it all up. The place of a faithful life is where you will receive God's message. Nowhere else. In the place of a life that is faithful to the stuff you already know to do is the place you will receive a new message from God. Nowhere else. An unfaithful life, a life that's not doing what they have already been told to do, is not going to get a new message, a new word from God. And let me just say this. Too often, we never stay in one place. We never stay under one thing long enough, faithful there long enough to develop enough to hear from God before we move on. What if Moses had gotten tired of tending the sheep and he just moved on somewhere else, somewhere off in Saudi Arabia? Where was the mountain of God? It doesn't move. The bush that God was going to light up and speak to him through, which was on the mountain of God, also was not going to move. But Moses moves across the Saudi Arabian desert, let's just say. Is he going to get the message from God? No, he is not. So after the 39th year, he goes into the 40th year of shepherding. Is that a bad move of his? No. Because not until you get a new thing from God do you change the old things that you've been doing. Stick with them. Be faithful. Be committed. It's in the faithfulness of life where God calls us. Don't miss that. Sometimes, again, God's messages for us is not lacking, but we're not in a place where we can receive that message. So God speaks to us how? He speaks to us through the Scriptures, but you're not reading the Scriptures. He speaks to us in church through pastors and teachers, but you're not in church. He speaks to us through prayer, but you're not spending time in prayer. So, but you're wanting a message from God? I mean, what do you want him to do? You cut off all the systems. You're not staying where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do, but you're expecting God to speak. Well, he is speaking, but he's over there on the mountain where you should have been, in the bush where you should have been, but you're not over there. And that's why there's a problem. It's not that he's unable to communicate. It's just you're not obedient. What if Moses said, I think I'll sleep in today. I think I'll quit shepherding tomorrow. And he misses it. Man, what a catastrophe. What a catastrophe. And we're going to get on here to, and we got to call it off here because we need to get to more things. But we're going to be jumping in next time to how God shows up in unusual ways in our lives. And like I said, you don't have the option of a burning bush. I think that's done. That one's been used up. But when he comes to us and speaks to us, first of all, you're going to know that he's speaking to you. Secondly, he's going to do it in an unusual way. It's going to be unusual for you. We're going to be looking at that next time together. But what we need to settle on, I think, this morning, very clearly, is we need to settle on his lordship. Is he Lord? If he's Lord, then you cannot tell him no. Are you willing to do anything? Worst case scenario, line it up and say, God, if that's what you call me to do, I will do it, because I know that I can't be happy unless I'm doing what you want me to do, where you want me to be, who you want me to be. Is that in your heart of hearts? It's not until then that we're ready to hear a message from God. Not until then. I want to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you do speak to us. You don't speak any less clear than you did way back in the old days. It may not be a burning bush, but Lord, when you speak, we will know it. God, I pray that if there is a message that's already been communicated to a person here, he or she already knows that message, and yet they're trying some way to explain it away, I pray they would give up. Pray give up and say, God, you made it clear to me, and I'm going to listen. You're Lord, and I want you to be absolute Lord of my life. Lord, I pray that you'd be Lord over us. I pray that our hearts would be, we're happy to stay here, God, but we're more happy to do exactly what you call us to do in the way you call us to do it. God, I pray that you have free reign over us this morning. I pray, Lord, as we participate in the Lord's Supper, that it would be indeed the Lord's Supper that we participate in, that you'd be absolute Lord. Thank you for speaking to us this morning. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.